I'd like to begin this message with three words. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, let me share something with you that is not a doctrine, although we need to have some objective teachings concerning truth. And that is, right now in this meeting, Christ is here.
Amen.
In the last verse of the Gospel of Matthew, he said, I am with you all the days until the consummation of this age.
Amen.
He said, I will be with you. You may not see me, but I am with you. And so he is here. I say this respectively. God evening, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We have gathered together in your name, because we love you and we love one another in you, and we are here seeking you because we long to experience you so that corporately we will express you for the glory of God.
Amen.
But I'd like you to consider something else without examining yourself. Because as I look upon you, I could hardly give any names. Even the names I knew 3 years ago, I may not remember all of them now. But I have a realization, and I hope that you would have this realization, that Christ is not only with us in this meeting. Christ is in you.
Amen.
Christ himself, as the Spirit, has entered into you. And when he enters in, he becomes one spirit with us. That's the beginning. But what is in his heart is this, and Paul understood it and prayed in Ephesians 3, that I pray that the Father of glory will strengthen you with power through your spirit into the inner man, so that Christ may make his home in your heart.
Amen.
And so the Christ who is in your spirit has been longing, has been waiting in many of us for years patiently. Please don't limit me to just being in your spirit. Open your inner being to me and let me not just visit you. I want to make your heart my home.
Amen.
And so I have the feeling that you came to this conference because you want Christ to make his home in your heart. Way back in ancient history, in 1970, Brother Lee gave some very powerful messages entitled Christ versus Religion. After Paul received this direct vision of Christ on the road to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him directly, he just abandoned everything in the past, especially religion. And instead, as you can tell from the verses we read, he didn't enter into or initiate a new kind of religion. There was only Christ.
Amen.
The all-inclusive Christ. And now I'd like to just ask you in a tender way, okay? A tender way for our learning. And some may be hearing this for the first time, and there has to be a first time for all of us, but others are quite familiar. In December of 1962, Brother Lee has what he called his official ministry conference in the United States. This was quite an event because the Lord sent him here for the advancement of the Lord's recovery. And the subject of that was the all-inclusive Christ. And there were a few saints here in 1962. The Lord brought me in 1966, read that book as soon as it was available. But I just, in the Lord's presence, with us and in us, please consider this. To what extent is Christ everything to us? Everything. Your health, your energy, your peace, your joy, your strength, your endurance, your grace, everything. I would take the lead to say, I can't just say this experientially, Christ is everything to me yet. But I thank the Lord for what he has been operating in me in the last 6 months, especially from July to the end of October. You haven't given up on this older brother. You've been waiting, and now you want to be more to me every day, a little more.
Amen.
And that's what's in my heart for all of you. That's why I can stand here, and whether you would, I can just stand here and do the same thing I did in the Thanksgiving conference. This is just a testimony of the reality of Christ, not of me, but of Christ. I just look at you, my brothers and sisters, my fellow members of the body of Christ. I love you all the same.
Amen.
The same. No bias, no preference, no prejudice. All the same, because not just the love of God, but the God of love is becoming more and more real.
Amen.
And so as we are about to come to this outline, I would just add this. It's a suggestion that nothing can replace our personal relationship with the Lord. And I remember, maybe 25 years ago, when I was, this is a word I invented, I was early in the morning procking. That means pray walking. There was a park just 2-minute walk from the house I rented. Just go there early in the morning and walk and pray. And one time I just asked him, I said, Lord, I need you to teach me how to be with you, person to person. Just consider this, Lord. You can see me, but I can't see you. Will you just train me how to be with you in a personal way? And I'm still learning. That's just a fact. But this is what I can just share with all of you, so that the God of peace will give peace to you in your heart.
Amen.
Whatever has been your personal history, whatever happened to you this week, just realize this, that through faith in the precious blood of Christ, we we can come forward to him and have fellowship, coming just as we are.
Amen.
Because he redeemed us at a great cost, and we just come to him as we are, just as I did that one morning walking, and it just came up in me, Lord, I want to learn how to have personal fellowship with you. And this is one of the things in my heart for all the saints on the earth, that we just go on from where we are. Like Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind.
Amen.
I came into the Lord's recovery at the end of September 1966. So many things, they're behind. Brothers and sisters, the best is ahead.
Amen.
It's not in the past.
Amen.
It's what's coming.
Amen.
And so, the nature of the messages in this conference is, of course, based upon the Word of God. That's the source of anything we can speak or teach. And we will concentrate on several verses from Philippians chapter 3. And so we need to become familiar with the verses. Very helpful to pray as we read them. It's very beneficial to read some of the footnotes. So this is the basis. But the burden is what we're reading here about knowing Christ. Lord, make that knowing real to me.
Amen.
I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I'm willing to participate in the fellowship of your sufferings. Lord, I'm willing to know what it is to be conformed to the mold of your death. And Lord, you are resurrection and life. I just want to learn from Paul. I want my whole being, little by little, to be brought into resurrection, my mind, emotion, and will, to be brought into your resurrection life, so that when you come, I will be able to receive the prize of the out-resurrection. That will be in message 5 at the end. But it's the resurrection of the victorious saints. So let's look at the general subject. Pursuing Christ for the fullest experience and enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
And this word pursuing comes from Paul saying this, I'm pursuing. And just consider a little bit, humanly and spiritually, depending on your age, someone, maybe the age of my grandson, I may be older than your grandpa. We're in different stages of life. But what have you pursued? When you are pursuing, you are using your energy to follow after something, to reach something, to obtain something. I really, really want this. And so at least in some cases, and I say this in a genuine spiritual way for the brother involved, he just had the realization that this sister, God wants to become my counterpart. And I will pursue her, not in a worldly way, but under the guidance of the Spirit. And so there is this aspect of the Christian life that's normal that needs to be developed in all of us. Because some of us, our inner feeling may be, and don't be ashamed of that. We're all learning. We're all developing. We're not rapture ready yet, but we sure want to be rapture ready. And that may be we can't recall pursuing anything. That we're interested in learning this and being in this. But the Lord wants to, I would say beginning right now, put an aspect of himself into us that will motivate us to pursue him every day. That means, Lord, as my wife and I pray usually early in the morning, thank you for another day. May it be a Christ day, a grace day, a grow in life day. And may it be now, I would add, a day for pursuing Christ. When I put my head on my pillow tonight, I want to be able to say, Lord, on the negative side, I have confessed and cleared any failures of today. And I'm washed in your blood because you're faithful and righteous to forgive. And as I put my head on the pillow tonight, I can say, Lord, there's a little more Christ in me than when I got up at 6 a.m. this morning. Amen. Why not? What would happen? This is February the 24th. We've got almost 300, maybe more than 300 days left this year. What would it be like on December 31st? If you just reflected back on this year, that for 300 days, you gained a little more of Christ. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. This is the way of life. It's not sudden. It's not immediate. The counterfeits. If you want to make artificial flowers, probably you could be trained to do it in an hour. But if you want a real flower, you got to plant the seeds. And when you look there in the next morning, there's not going to be anything blossoming, nothing. And so just realize the Lord's way is the way of life. Amen. And so we're not going to try to say, for now, my Lord, I promise I'm going to pursue. That promise might last until maybe Tuesday afternoon. And then you forget about it, because the things of life just swallow us up. Just say, Lord, operate in me so that I pursue you. Amen. I don't want anything for myself. Amen. There's nothing for the self in the church life in the Lord's recovery. Amen. There's only Christ for you. Amen. Pursuing Christ for the fullest experience. If you had asked me, Ron, what is the fullest experience? I would have to say, I don't know yet. It's getting fuller, but fullest, the ministry of the age could say this toward the end of his journey, but there's the fullest experience and the full and enjoyment of Christ. I had some feeling about mentioning this verse during the December training, but I didn't have the leading to. But I mention it now in relation to the enjoyment of Christ. And that is Nehemiah chapter 8. You see the verse 10 or 12. And that verse says, the joy of Jehovah is your strength. Amen. Just consider that. Now Jehovah, you know, this is a certain translation for the Hebrew, and Christ is the reality. He's the I am. He's God and man. And his joy will become your strength. And I testify to you, the strength to endure and pass through anything. Because this is the strength that is the strength of the resurrected Christ. And then in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul speaks somewhat about the kingdom. He says the kingdom of God is righteousness. Amen. Peace. Amen. And that's for many years I stopped there. But there's one more step. The joy of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And let me just tell you, the Lord not only wants you to know Him, to experience Him, He wants you to enjoy Him.
Amen.
To be the joy in your heart.
Amen.
So that's the general subject. And then we will go step by step through the outline, and I will emphasize certain crucial points. And after the conference, whether you want to spend any time reading it again or reading the verses, if you have the time, it's up to you. But what I'm going to do is to emphasize certain crucial matters, and all of them are experiential. None of them is theory. None of them is doctrine. It's genuine, real experience and enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
And so the title for message one is Gaining Christ.
Amen.
Gaining. On the one hand, the Lord has given Himself to us when He saved us and when we believed in Him and called on Him. Then He, as the life-giving Spirit, entered into us. But now He wants us to pursue Him and gain Him. And this, in a certain inner sense, should become the goal of the believer's pursuit of Christ. The goal. I would say now, my goal is not just to be an overcoming one, to be in the kingdom. And my goal is not just for the Lord to say, well done, faithful serving one. Or the Lord to say, come into my wedding feast. I want you to reign with me. Of course, we hope all this will happen. But these are things. These are statuses. Now what the goal is, Christ Himself.
Amen.
The all-inclusive Christ Himself.
Amen.
And we will see at a certain point in this outline that this was the basis of Paul's experience. He had accumulated many outstanding things because of the kind of person he was, and he was absolute in his religion. But when Christ was revealed into him, and he responded by giving himself, he just abandoned everything. I'm not holding on to anything. I just want Christ himself. And you just read any one of his epistles. He's mentioning verse after verse, Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus. You just realize he's just interacting with a person. It's personal. And so the goal of the believer's pursuit of Christ is gaining Christ.
Amen.
And I sincerely believe when you walk out of that door a little after noon on the Lord's Day, you'll be able to say, I'm leaving this meeting place having gained a little more Christ.
Amen.
Because it's going to happen. It's happening right now. I mean right now.
Amen.
He's operating in all of us. We can't see Him. As many of you have learned, He's the God who hides Himself. But wow, is He wise. He's hidden, but He's active in your being.
Amen.
Right now, not to judge you, not to deal with you mainly, but to minister Himself into you.
Amen.
So point one, in Philippians 3:3-16, Christ is presented as the goal of the believer's pursuit. And the thing that holds us back in our growth in life and our usefulness in the church life is just being passive, with no response. And some of us were born with a kind of a passive constitution. But don't worry, we'll be saved from that. And so we need to look to the Lord that he will energize us, that he will become the goal. Today, I don't want to just this or that to happen, or this blessing to happen. I'm not asking the Lord to simply do something that I really need him to do. Lord, the main thing today is gaining you.
Amen.
That makes this day full of meaning. Gaining Christ. So that's the goal. For Christ to be our goal means that he is the highest enjoyment. And this means as we are developing, the joy of the Lord increases. When I was in my early 20s, just because of certain things that had taken place that were severely injurious to my inner being, even though I was a genuine believer and still felt the Lord wanted me to go to seminary to be a preacher, but on another level, I just made this decision. There is no such thing as real joy and love. There's no real love. From what I've been experiencing, someone might love me according to what they think I am. That's their perception. Then they find out a little about what I am and the love is gone. And then I thought, joy, that's for shallow people. Deep people are serious all the time. And they're just struggling with all the complexity of our meaningless life. But I learned something, and I'm still learning this, from Brother Watchman Nee, who went to be with the Lord in 1972 at the end of 20 years of confinement because he would not deny his faith in Christ Jesus. And prior to those 20 years, he suffered endlessly in so many ways. He almost died when he was a young man. And now what he went through in those 20 years is beyond our understanding. And when he learned that his beloved wife had passed away, he just pleaded with them, just give me one or two days free for her funeral. They wouldn't let him go. But he wrote indirectly a last letter to a member of the family before he passed away. He said, I have maintained my joy. Can you imagine, in the midst of that situation of unending suffering, his joy was unchanging. And then that just changed me, realized, no, those who enjoy Christ are the deepest children of God. It's not the kind of joy where something happened to make you so joyful, or you sent in your income tax document. Then in a few weeks you get a letter saying, Mr. So-and-so, you made a mistake. We owe you another $2,000. Oh, you would be so happy. The money makes you happy. Or if you got one, like I got one last year, that you made this mistake, and so it's $1,200 less that you're getting. Well, but the joy that we're talking about is not based upon things or the situation or the environment. The joy is God Himself.
Amen.
Christ Himself. So when we are pursuing Christ, that we are reaching the highest enjoyment. And that the taste of that enjoyment will be the reward given to the overcoming saints. You look in Matthew 25, he said to the faithful serving ones, enter into the joy of your master.
Amen.
Just come in. This is going to be 1,000 years of joy. Come into the wedding feast. I'm going to marry her. You're part of her. And leading up to that will be what Brother Lee and Brother Nee learned. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And just simply ask Him, if, as you're hearing this, excuse me, I just have to clear my throat every now and then. This may be unfamiliar with you. Even to say, enjoying the Lord, what is that? I remember being in a meeting way back in the late 60s, and a dear brother, a new one, came into the meeting. We were talking about enjoying Christ, and he stood up and he said, there's no such thing as enjoying Christ. He didn't know the Bible. We didn't condemn him. We cared for him. Well, this is a strong inward indication that your joy is increasing.
Amen.
And I'm not in any way boasting. I'm just sharing a little bit, a little risk. While I'm standing here speaking this message, while I'm speaking, inwardly I'm praying that you all will experience the joy in the Lord beyond anything you've ever known until now.
Amen.
That your joy will increase day by day.
Amen.
Until you're not just rapture ready, you are raptured. And we may be in different parts of the earth, but I'm just looking for that day. It's personal, but also it's corporal. And then we all meet together on the throne.
Amen.
Anyway, that's my dream. Kind of a nice dream, huh?
Amen.
B, our goal is the all-inclusive Christ as the prize to be awarded to us. When we reach the goal will immediately become the prize. So Christ is the goal. The all-inclusive Christ is the goal. We're pursuing more aspects of Christ. And eventually, when we reach the goal, Christ becomes the prize. But you will enjoy the prize in the millennial kingdom and in the wedding feast. C, Paul's pursuit was toward one goal, one aim. Christ. He was not pursuing anything for himself. He didn't say, I'm going to be the top apostle. I respect Peter and John and these others, but they don't have the kind of background. They're fishermen. But what do they know? I want to be at the top. This is dreadful kind of ambition that has to be terminated. I don't want anything for myself. I don't want to accomplish anything for myself. I don't want any praise for anything that I do. My goal is Christ Himself.
Amen.
Each day, just when you remember it, sometimes the freshest prayers come up while I'm in the shower. I don't think I can stay there very long and pray. You've got to have a normal daily life. My point is that we just communicate with him spontaneously anywhere at any time. Lord, today, please make yourself real to me today.
Amen.
I'm pursuing you. When you are speaking like this, that's the indicator you're pursuing. You're contacting him. He knows now you want him. So he took Christ as his goal, pursuing to obtain the prize to which God in Christ Jesus had called him upward. So there's a call. And I believe the Lord will have a way to make this real to you in your inner being, because he has the same love for all of us. He's just saying, I'm calling you. I'm calling you out of your mood. I'm calling you out of your feeling. I'm calling you out of the situation to come upward to experience me today. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I'm shepherding you. But I don't want you to just somehow survive this and get through this and hope there's something better. But right now, I just am calling you to inwardly rise above what are your thoughts and feelings in the situation around us, beyond what our health is, beyond what losses we have gone through. But deep within, he's calling, I'm here. Just seek me. I will give myself to you. D, since our goal is to gain Christ, we should forsake all other things and pursue nothing but Christ. I was really helped after the first meeting I attended in the church in Los Angeles in October 1966. I remember this brother, what he told me. He was probably 20 years older than I. Surely he's with the Lord now. And he just introduced himself, brother to brother. And he said, because he was a minister, a preacher before, he gave that up. And he knew what my background was. And he said, Ron, when you come here, you lose all your glory. And also, all those who glorify you. In other words, there's nothing here for you. If you want to be something special and be uplifted by others, then just be part of organized religious Christianity. That's the nature of the whole system. But here, there's only the glory to God. We're just all members of the body.
Amen.
I'm just a brother like you. You're my sister. I'm your brother. You're my brother. I'm your brother. The fact that I have a certain portion in the ministry doesn't make me unique or anything different. You have your portion. I want you to realize you have a portion of Christ that no one else on earth has. And we can only enjoy that portion of Christ, my dear brother, is when you pray a little bit. You just give a 40-second testimony. It's not a message. But in those 40 seconds, you're ministering Christ to us.
Amen.
This is the nature of our church life.
Amen.
So now we turn to what Paul had to experience in order to really be a pursuer of Christ. And point two. On account of, or because of, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Paul counted all things to be loss. So here, the words, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, refers to knowing Christ by the divine revelation in the Word of God. We begin here. We have to know him in a sense objectively first, that he's the Son of God, he's the Son of Man, he's the firstborn Son, he's the Redeemer. So many aspects of him. And Paul could say, this kind of knowledge is excellency. It's beyond any other. Then he compared with Christ to everything in his background. All the things that were behind. And then he went through certain steps. And his goal was, there's no comparison. I'm just terminating everything. I'm not holding on to anything from Judaism, from my attainments. I'm not clinging to the past at all. I'm counting all things to be lost. He's saying, I am willing to suffer the loss of anything before this was precious to me, not persons, but just what I wanted to be, what I wanted to attain, what I wanted to accomplish, what I was in the eyes of other human beings. He would say, this is just junk. I just let it all go. Because if I hold on to it, it hinders my pursuit of Christ. It limits my experience and enjoyment of Christ. Paul placed great value on the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Okay, so let's just say, we're not going to do this because this is not a training, it's not a class in the training, but let's say we're just imaginary, we're having a little test, and then I would ask you to write down just a paragraph or so. What is the knowledge? What does it mean to know Christ as the firstborn Son of God? Quote the crucial verses and define the truth. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to walk up to you after the meeting and give you a question. You know, it's okay if you ask me a question. If I don't know the answer, I won't pretend that I do. Okay? Well, we need to know the truth that Christ is the Son of God. When he was incarnated, he became the Son of Man in his humanity. He was still the Son of God, the only begotten Son, incarnated in a human body. So he's the Son of Man. But after he died and was resurrected, his humanity was designated to be part of the Son of God. He became the Son of God in a second way with his humanity. So he's called, therefore, the firstborn Son of God because all of us are going to be born through regeneration. Amen. And so This goes on to say, this is indicated by the words, my Lord, my Lord. I read a verse last night from Jeremiah somewhere. Just when the prophet said, my God. There's only one God. But to say the God or God, that's honorable. But when to say, I love my God, that means the true and living God is real to you. He's personally your God. And it touches his heart when you tell him, you are my God. Amen. Here he said, you are my Lord. This is not just an objective teaching. I know you're the Lord of heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. You are the Lord. But now I can say, you are my Lord. You just consider this. When we just pray and call, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord. We're not saying, oh, Jesus only. Lord Jesus. You're calling on the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
Calling on him, then to realize, this is not just a kind of way we express things. This is my reaching out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, you are my Lord. I need you right now. And so the words, my Lord, convey his intimate, tender feelings concerning Christ. So let me just ask the brothers, especially brothers younger than I, that how do you feel? You know, because we're still in the old creation, you're a man, right? And aren't you glad you're a man? That you were born as a man, not a female? Yeah, we all like it for some reason, right? Okay, but to say, I am intimate. I have tender feelings. Tender feelings. Intimate feelings. To me, this is real humanity.
Amen.
And this kind of feeling toward the Lord, intimate. You read Song of Songs. It's intimate.
Amen.
We're all in a, whether we realize it or not, we're in a divine romance. And the one who comes back secretly is going to be our husband. Don't you want to be that time? Oh, what an hour sweet when bride and bridegroom meet. I'm just looking forward to that. I just wonder what will take place. I've said this before. You might have heard it. Do you think, you know, so all the overcomers are there, the man-child and the living overcomers, they're there, and they're now the bride. Do you think he walks on the scene and says, how do you do? My name is Mr. Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to meet you. What kind of wedding is this? I love that line of the hymn, oh, what an hour sweet when bride and bridegroom meet and love surpassing comprehend. Don't you want to be there at that moment when the bride and bridegroom meet?
Amen.
Does he not have tender feelings, intimate feelings for the one for whom he died? I personally believe what it says in Hebrews 12, when he was on the cross, he said, the joy set before him. And I've wondered for decades, what is this, the joy of the Lord? I can only share you what I think. It may be accurate. We'll find out. I believe the joy set before him was his wife. He's saying, I'm dying for you. You read Ephesians chapter 5. I'm dying to redeem you, to marry you.
Amen.
And my Father knows, only he knows the pain in the depths of my being. But it's to satisfy his righteous requirement and to redeem you. And the joy set before him is when I marry you.
Amen.
The joy set before him. So tender feelings concerning Christ. And again, if you don't have tender feelings, don't condemn yourself. The genuine feelings will be the humanity of Christ saturating us. Nothing is natural. But it's just so delightful to have one-on-one time. You know, even, you know, you're just at a red light because the cars in front of you had slow reflexes. And they didn't turn on the red on the green arrow. So now you're going to be there for 2.5 minutes because you know that intersection very well. This is an illustration many of you heard countless times. So you have 2.5 minutes. Instead of groaning about it, you just say, Lord, I've got 2.5 minutes to be with you.
Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
You're in the car with me. And the Lord might say, I want to be the driver of the car in you because I'm living in you. Okay, B. Paul's eyes were open to see the excellency of the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. So his eyes were opened. So we need our spiritual eyes opened. So let's just ask him. Ask him tonight, Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
To see the excellency of the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. Just to see would just melt our heart, would motivate us. Wow, this is Christ. And you want me to experience and enjoy you? Thank you, Lord. And you've been waiting so long. You have such endurance and patience. You're a wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. On account of this excellency, he counted as loss all things, whether they related to religious gain or natural gain. That I realize humanly, you know, a young woman or a young man, and they're finishing the kind of education that is suitable to them. They need to have a trade. They need to have a profession for their human living and to support their family and whatever. And it's normal to whatever field you are in, you want to excel in that. I remember being in Taiwan for a period of time. And I and some others were at the home of a brother and his wife, and he was the equivalent of the director of the FTI, you know. And here he is, he's a brother. But the Lord wanted him, he could excel in this, but that's not what he lived for. This was just his job. What occupied him was Christ and the church.
Amen.
And so when we realize the religious gain, the natural gain. And so in my vocabulary, that's just me, and sometimes I'm odd, I admit that in my category, there's no such thing as career. To me, career is what you want to accomplish in the world. You want to reach something quite wonderful in the world, your career. I would just say, this is my profession. This is my trade. This is the kind of work that I do. And I do a good job on my work. I'm faithful. But that's not what I'm living for. That's just my human responsibility. I am here because these things no longer matter to me. That some of you have heard this illustration before, and I don't know what, and you don't have to say, some of you young brothers in your early 20s, when you got not just your first car, but the first kind of brand new car, the car you dreamed about. I know how you feel about your car. How? Okay, so you park, and you get out of the car and close the door, and you walk away, and you look back. Like saying, don't worry, dear, I'm coming for you. I mention that because I did that with a certain vehicle. And then the Lord allowed certain things to happen to that vehicle. One repair after another. And I can tell you, I stopped looking back. That's all you are, is a vehicle, nothing more.
Amen.
Point C. In verse 8, all things indicate that Paul dropped not only religious things, but all things on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Thus, to Paul, the loss of all things was the loss of everything. So he had quite a position in Judaism. Now it meant nothing to him. And I realize in the age in which we live, you know, we need money to survive. But I don't know if you needed to learn this lesson. But one brother who was shepherding me in the first few weeks I was in the recovery, he just suggested some things. He said, you might want to be with the Lord and ask the Lord, what is in your heart? What do you think about a lot? Especially, I remember, what do you think about? And so I just did it. And the Lord answered right away, money. Money. You don't want to be rich, but you just think about money a lot. And then I read the verse, no one can serve two masters. Right? Either God or that. Just this one matter. We need to earn our living. We need to fulfill our responsibilities. But to be able to say, I do not love money. Money is not in my heart. I don't think about it now. I don't worry about it now. And just a little sidebar comment. The Lord knows. The Lord covers me when I say this. Whenever I earn something or whenever I receive something, the first response is to give to the Lord.
Amen.
And I've just been learning every year, and it's in coordination with my wife, so we are in one accord this. Okay, we're going up a higher percentage. We're going up. Because I know the law of giving. Not that I want to be rich, but I want God to be able to function in this way. And I don't worry about it. Because if I give, then that activates the law. And the Lord knows you're not serving mammon. You don't love money. It's not what you're here for. But I know what you need. And I know what you will do. These are some of the things. So eventually, all the things in the world that were precious to us were just gone. Because we're not left empty. The Lord would never do this. This is a dangerous thing, to be empty. But now instead of the things, we have Christ.
Amen.
The wonderful Christ. And this needs to be more than a thought, something we agree with. I'm just longing for the day when I meet with the saints on the Lord's Day morning. Yes, we're having the Lord's table to remember the Lord. But I'm just waiting for the time in the Lord when we come together. And now we don't just, okay, someone calls a hymn. We sing the hymn. And then we read and pray some of the lines of the hymn. Then we sing another hymn. Did the same thing with the lines of the hymn. Does anyone come to the meeting with the riches of Christ from their laboring on Christ as the good land?
Amen.
And now offer this Christ in worship to God the Father.
Amen.
Okay, we're not there yet. I'm not judging anybody. But we're going to do that.
Amen.
We're going to have these kind of meetings as we had in an elementary way decades ago. But that was like being in elementary school. Because in our daily life, in the midst of whatever we're doing, we are seeking Christ, pursuing Christ, gaining Christ. D, the more we have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, the more we will count as loss everything religious and natural. So we're not saying, okay, now you're coming into the church life in the Lord's recovery. You need to abandon this. You need to abandon that. I remember, the sister became rather religious in a certain way for a while. But she was helping someone move into their apartment. And one of them had a certain kind of picture, a painting on the wall. And the sister couldn't keep quiet. She said, that's religious. That has to come down. Well, when I was doing the same thing, I put some things on the wall, and this dear brother didn't say anything. And even one was a crucifix on the cross. I thought that was spiritual. He didn't say, that's terrible. But I was just having fellowship with the Lord, and I realized, that's coming down. I want Christ. Amen. I want that. So don't think you've got to go home now and say, get rid of this, get rid of that, stop this. Don't go say this. Don't enjoy this. Don't buy this. Just pursue Christ.
Amen.
Enjoy Christ.
Amen.
And then you'll realize, I'm going to let it go because this is holding me back. It's holding me back. I don't want to be held back anymore. And some of us that are older, you know, we're on the other side of the cliff. I just remember reading something when I turned 50. Now you're on the other side of the cliff, the mountain. And I said, I don't know when I ever got to the top of the mountain. Now am I going down the other side? I don't know what is left. But just to realize, no, the time that we're given, we want Christ.
Amen.
And so everything that's religious and everything that's natural. And Christ replaces it. Now the last section, and there'll be ample time. I'll stop more than 9 o'clock, and I'll tell you the rest of the meeting and the rest of the message will be completed by many of you. I mean that. I mean that. Because we need the confirmation from brothers and sisters in the meeting, from the youngest to the oldest. And I'm speaking in English because that's all I can do. But there are many Spanish-speaking speakers here. Please don't hold back.
Amen.
We have an expert translator for you. There is no secondary people in the Lord's recovery. None at all. We're all on the same level.
Amen.
And we need the portion of anyone and everyone in this meeting.
Amen.
According to the Lord's leading. Don't worry. We won't point at you and say, do it. This is not a training. But the Lord within, well, I believe will give your response, not just repeating something, but sharing something that touched you concerning Christ.
Amen.
On account of Christ, Paul suffered the loss of all things. So there is a feeling of suffering. And that you're just letting something go that meant so much to you before, you had feeling about it, and so now you are experiencing it. But then what Paul said after that, he counted them as refuse, as garbage, as junk. When I graduated from the seminary in Princeton, New Jersey in 1964, my ambition was to be a highly regarded preacher in a huge church, thousands of people. I want to be at the very top. I was called by the Lord, but it was just mixed with self-glorification. But in the next 2 years, the Lord had a lot of dealing to touch things. And then I gave the last so-called sermon was in August of 1966 because I had been studying Hebrews chapter 13 that Christ is outside the camp. He died on the cross outside the religious camp. And I just told them, I don't know what you're going to do, but I am going outside the camp Then the Lord led me into the Lord's recovery, came to know about the ministry of the age and the minister of the age and the local churches. And then I remember that day when I was baptized, because I hadn't been baptized before. I was just sprinkled when I was an infant, and the denomination didn't do it. And I realized that now I just want to bury and terminate everything. And we used the swimming pool in somebody's apartment building. So I was standing there in the water up to here. And some saints are praying. One brother, quite an interesting person, he just called out, you know, bye-bye, Ron. And I was so glad he said it. Well, that was the event. Then through the years, the event is worked out. And there were some that knew me from the background. This is a partial testimony. They wondered, we expected you to do this and to be this, and you're in California. What are you doing with all the hippies down there? And I remember I had contact with someone in the faculty of the seminary, because I had written to him a testimony of why I left and why I just discarded the document that I had, that I could preach and do this and that. And he said, I'm sitting alone at night in my office here, reading your letter and writing back and wondering, can everyone be wrong? Meaning all of them there, and one man right. And I didn't answer, but even then, I'd been in the recovery a year, I said, yes, one person can be right according to Christ.
Amen.
And I never looked back.
Amen.
Never. It's just so good to be your brother.
Amen.
I grew up as an only child. I didn't want to be, but what could I do about it? And then when people were saying brother and sister, I thought, this is kind of odd. But then it really dawned on me, you are my sister, and I'm your brother. We're in this family together.
Amen.
No hierarchy. Co-workers are not on a higher level. They should actually be slaves of Christ Jesus. The leading brothers, the elders, they're not higher. They should be just shepherding the saints. We're all on the same level. It's so good just to be a member of the body.
Amen.
And a brother or sister in the family of God.
Amen.
A, all things in verse 8 includes the things of religion, philosophy, and culture. Paul suffered the loss of all these things because they were substitutes for Christ. Hooks used by Satan to keep people from Christ and the experience of Christ. So certain things in them of themselves, they're not bad, but the enemy knows they will occupy you. They are precious to you. And they replace their substitutes for Christ. And this might be asking you to be a little bold, and don't try to be bold until the Lord makes you bold to ask the Lord. Dear Lord, I'm coming to you, opening to you. Is there anything in me or in my life that is a substitute for you? If there is, please show me. I want to terminate it, because I will no longer cling to something that is in place of you. I want you to be everything. I want you to be my health. I want you to be my energy. I want you to be this or that. I don't want to have that. I want to have you. I'm not seeking that. I'm seeking you.
Amen.
And so this happened to Paul when the light just shined throughout his being and he realized, these are some of the best things to you. They're most precious to you. You had achieved so much in where you were. Then he says, it's trash. I'm leaving it behind. I have some feeling when it goes, but it was a substitute for Christ. The enemy is clever. He sends his demons to manipulate us and to use those things, not to make us necessarily do evil things, just to distract us from Christ. Amen. That's all. That's all. But now, when he's exposed, then we're not kept from the experience of Christ. Isn't this in your heart? To some extent, Lord, I don't want anything in me or in my life that is interfering with my experience and enjoyment of Christ. Amen. And then don't try to figure it out. Don't search yourself. Don't analyze yourself. Just turn to the Lord. Amen. And he will have a way to take care of this. And the more he touches it, you will just experience relief, release, praise. Almost inwardly, you are just rejoicing. Christ is more real to me. He's more precious to me. Point B, we gain Christ by suffering the loss of all things that were once a gain for us and by counting them as refuse. So we don't give testimonies. Let's all talk about the price we paid to be in the Lord's recovery. We'll see who gets the prize. I left. This one dear sister, she said, we left our beloved state of Texas to be in California. I said, Texas. Now I like to call them the second largest state, okay? I mean, no one would say I left beloved North Dakota. I didn't say I left love Michigan to come to California. And so they loved Texas for a while. So whatever it is, the Lord is just praying for us and would lead us to let go of anything that replaces Christ and let Christ be everything to us.
Amen.
We gain Christ, and so we experience the suffering, but then we don't feel bad about it. We thought, this is junk. I just had to write back to the denomination and say, I just reject my license to preach. This term, it means nothing to me now. It was so precious. I had to give an examination. They had to approve me. They said, now you can be a reverend and do this. It means nothing to me. The Greek word for gain in verse 8 means to secure, to obtain, to lay hold of. 2, Christ is the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. Wow. The triune God is embodied in him. So when you have Christ, you have the triune God in Christ with you and in you. This is just, it's just hard to think about for more than 10 seconds. Mind can't contain it. That right now, Christ is in me and he's the embodiment of the triune God.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in me. This is amazing. It's easier for me to say, my dear brothers, the triune God and the all-inclusive Christ is in you right now.
Amen.
But that's what it is. And so it goes on, and the reality of the shadows of all positive things. Then we go on to points 3, 4, and 5. Then my portion is done in about 2 minutes. To gain Christ is to experience, enjoy, and take possession of his unsearchable riches. That verse in Ephesians 3:8, unsearchable riches. But now we can possess them. Experience, enjoy, and possess the riches of Christ. like Paul, we should not only count all things as loss on account of Christ, but also suffer the loss of all things and count all things as refuse. The more we suffer the loss of all things and count them as refuse on account of Christ, the more we will gain Christ for our experience and enjoyment.
Amen.
So we want to know Christ, gain Christ, experience Christ, enjoy Christ, be constituted with Christ, and then minister Christ to one another. Now it's 1 minute before 9. We have close to 30 minutes. And now I just leave you in the hands of the indwelling Christ. No matter if your age, your situation, you're a member of the body, you have Christ in you, you are one spirit with the Lord. Please follow the moving of the anointment in you. Just follow the inner feeling. Just stand up and a microphone will be brought to you and just speak for about a minute. And when you stand up, we will all be one with you and draw your spirit out.
Amen.
So let's minister Christ for one another, at least for 25 minutes.
Amen.
And so who might be the first to begin? I won't point the finger. I'll leave that to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay.